You are listening to the Music and Ministry Podcast. Well, on behalf of myself and everyone else here at Music and Ministry, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Today, we are going to continue our discussion of how to get people to participate in worship. Because as worship leaders, leading people to worship is pretty much our job. That's what we're doing. So above all the tasks and obligations and all the things that we can fill our schedule with, this is the thing that we want to be good at. We can be more organized, we can be more scheduled, and we can even really work hard to have our music sound great, but that doesn't automatically mean that people are worshiping more. And of course, some of those things are going to help. But often what we find here at Music and Ministry is what makes the biggest difference is just a slight change in approach and perspective. So as we move into the specifics of this issue, I want you to write these two things down, because worship leading, or really just leadership, comes down to winning in these two areas. And here they are. Are they willing and are they able? Are they willing and are they able? Or to make it personal, will you and can you? Would you be willing to go on a $1 million shopping spree? Probably. Can you? Well, that would depend on having $1 million to spend. Would you be willing to follow a tall and dangerous looking stranger down a dark alleyway? Hopefully not. But can you? Though you probably shouldn't, the answer is yes. Would you be willing to participate in worship? Well, that depends on a number of factors. Can you participate in worship? Also depends on a number of factors. So as a worship leader, you need to constantly be asking yourself these two questions. Are they willing to follow me? Are they able to follow me? Now, willing is the first hurdle. If you can't win here, really nothing else matters. Now, just think of all the things that you can do, but you don't. Now, the easy ones, of course, are like working out, dieting, organizing your junk drawer, paying your taxes early, or purchasing products from TV infomercials. You can, but you don't. And for whatever reason, it hasn't won you over, and the power of your will is very strong. Now, this goes to the negative and to the positive. If you do want to do something, or when you don't want to do something, it's what we call willpower. And as the old saying goes, if there is a will, there's a way. And another equally famous statement, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, just think about how that's true in your life. I'm thinking back to how I once decided to run, well, do a half Ironman, or what's known as a 70.3 triathlon, 70.3 being the number of miles that you go. And I trained for an entire year to swim 1.2 miles, bike 56 miles, and then run a half marathon of 13.1 miles, which I did in about 7 hours. Now, this 7 hours of pushing myself to go as fast as I physically was able, and yet when I was a child, I would not eat bean sprouts. One time I sat at the table for hours, just spreading them around my plate, even though my parents said I wasn't leaving the table that day until they were gone. So it's pretty clear how strong and really selective our will is. So maybe a better question is, how do we influence this powerful determiner of almost every human behavior? Well, you have to motivate. Now, there's certainly a lot of ways to motivate, and some are negative and some are positive, and some are subtle and others are pretty intense. But I believe the best way to motivate is to inspire. With the proper inspiration, you will tackle literally any project, climb the highest mountain, do a 70.3 triathlon, eat those bean sprouts, and you will also sing any song anywhere at any time, whether or not you can do it well. And that's really how you can explain why at concerts, you can have thousands of people in a venue singing along with their favorite band, and they're straining to hit every note and don't really care whether or not the people around them can hear or see them. But when you put those same people in a very similar setting of church, they're just staring at you silently. So as a leader, we should constantly take inventory and ask, are they willing? And then our task is to find out why or why not, so we can develop a strategy to lead them past it. And it's in the answers to the question, what would make them willing, that we develop our strategies towards success, or we end up pouring a lot of effort into perfectly executing a plan that is doomed to fail. So we must be observant, discerning really, and careful when it comes to the decisions that we make at this level, because I believe it's where we win and lose. So the other equally important question that goes hand in hand with this is, are they able? Are they physically, mentally and emotionally able to accomplish the task that you are trying to motivate them to do. For instance, you can yell at me, you can offer me a lot of money, or do really whatever you want to me, but I still can't do 100 push-ups in one set. I also can't run a 4-minute mile, and I can't swim faster than an Olympic champion, as few people can, and I'm not anywhere close. Now, I might try, right, just to see if there's some sort of miraculous intervention, but really, other than an act of God, I know that I can't. I also don't speak Russian, I don't speak Korean, or even French, or any number of the other hundreds of languages on our planet. And so you can offer me a free book in those languages, or ask me to translate for someone for a lot of money, or, well, you're getting the point here. I still can't do it. Even if I wanted to, I am unable. Now, if I'm properly motivated over time, keyword there being over time, I could probably figure some of those things out. But no matter how hard I try, I still wouldn't be able to do things that were impossible, like giving birth or time traveling or becoming a puppy dog, just because they are impossible. So when we look to apply this to our worship leading, we constantly have to ask ourselves, can they do what I'm asking them to do? But you can't just think about it in terms of being general. You have to be a little bit more specific. So let me give you an example. So you say, they're not singing. Well, why aren't they singing? Do they not know how to sing? Well, yes, they probably know how to sing. Well, then they must not want to sing. Well, wait a moment. We didn't ask maybe enough questions there. Do they know how to sing this song? Well, most people say, well, this is the third week that we've done it. But yes, but how many of those people were there all the 3 weeks that you used it? Now, that's a little bit of a better question, is were the people there? Because most people don't go to church every week. Maybe even a better general question is, how many times do I have to do a song before people can join in? Well, maybe even better than that is, how many times do I need to do the song until a non-musician can join in? And those answers will be very different. Well, why? Because you, as the worship leader of your church, have a higher capacity for music than probably everyone else in your congregation. And if you lead them at your level, they will be lost, unable, though they might be willing. Now think about the times where you've gone to a worship conference like we all have, excited to worship, and found yourself just staring at the worship leader, trying to figure out the songs that they chose. Now, because you and I have a higher capacity for music, you can probably pick up the song by the end, but then here comes the next song that you've never heard before, and your willingness takes a hit, right? You want to, but you can't, and then that willingness begins to fade, and over time, then you become neither willing nor able. Now, what's maybe the most important thing to note is that these moments usually have like the highest quality of sound, lights, the instruments are the top, and the talent is amazing. They are all working together to not achieve the goal of leading people to worship. So next time when you've been left behind in any kind of worship service, take a moment to look around and see how many other people are just like you. I know it's a little terrifying, but just take a look around and see how many people are not participating. I'm telling you, it will shock you that you are not alone. You know, one of the times, well, the many times that this has happened to us was just on a regular Sunday, and we were visiting this church and the worship team began, and we did our best to jump in, right? We're worship leaders. We love to worship. We know a lot of worship songs. We're interested. Now, the rest of the congregation seemed to be involved right up until the worship leader decided to repeat the phrase, "We burn incense for you," over and over and over, followed by long periods of silence, and then back to incense. Now, like I said, I was a visitor, so I was fairly lost and confused, but yet hopeful that maybe they had just finished a long series of messages about how burning incense applied to the Bible, because it obviously meant a lot to them. But you at least have to admit that that's a weird phrase, "We burn incense for you," because when you think of incense, you don't automatically think of Jesus. But it turned out I was not alone, because slowly but surely, the people lost their will and began to sit down. Some of them were taking out their phones. Some people just left, and others like me just waited it out until it was over, which it took quite a while to accomplish that, and really almost the rest of the service, in fact. So at the end, the only two people that were still standing in the congregation were the pastor and the associate pastor, who were in the front, and I think probably completely unaware that everyone else who was behind them was neither with them nor standing, and many people had left or were checking their email. I'm also not entirely certain that the worship leader ever opened their eyes. And what surprised me the most is at the end, the pastor got up and said, "Wow, that was powerful," which I fully believe that it was for him and maybe the people that were leading, but it was not for the rest of us. Now, again, keep in mind, they successfully led only the people who were like themselves. So this idea of knowing your people and knowing whether or not they want to be with you or they can be with you is really a jumping off place for so many other discussions that we will have about what inspires people to sing or not to sing, or more importantly, to worship or not worship, as well as conversations about strategies for understanding the ability of the people that you are leading. But before we go today, I want to go back to the concert example that I used earlier about people singing beyond their ability at a show or a concert by their favorite band. Now, just take a moment to think about it, right? They wanted to sing, and they did sing. But it's really in that description that I gave that are some key reasons, right? So first of all, it was their favorite band. They liked them, otherwise they wouldn't have paid money to be there or would have even gone if it was a free event. They are already motivated, which begs the question, do your people like you? And more importantly, what can you do to influence that? Now, since they are their favorite or one of their favorite bands, that means that they listen to their music a lot. So when the song begins, they already know it by heart. They have the ability to sing every line. They also want to sing every line because they like it, right? So it's circular, which is a powerful observation that every musician should know, and has changed my life, so I'll share it with you. People want to hear the songs they know and like. Now, that's why they play the same songs all the time on the radio. That is why you should, when you're picking songs for playing shows or DJing or whatever it is that you're doing, like worship leading, should pick songs that people know and like. So here's the question. Do your people know and do they like the songs that you chose? Now, you chose them because you like them, or maybe it's just because your leaders like them. But the real question is, do the people you are trying to lead to participate like them? Another question is, do your people, now not the leadership or the other musicians in your congregation, but the regular people, know the words before you begin? Now, you may or may not, because some of us need a piece of paper to stare at or a confidence screen, otherwise we don't know them either. And I'm telling you, this is so important, because way too many churches have way too many songs in their rotation, thinking that the reason people don't sing is because they are bored with the songs. And one place we went to, they didn't repeat a song the entire year. Now think about that. That's like 5 songs a Sunday times 52 weeks a year. That's a lot of songs. There was also this other place we went to that had like a list of 500 songs that they chose from and had indexed like a hymnal. But we found most churches were somewhere around 50 songs or more. And I'm telling you, that is still too much. Now, why? That may just totally shock you. But it's because it's beyond the capacity of the majority of your people who don't show up every week, don't listen to these songs outside of a Sunday, and are not musicians. Now, those examples are really just the tip of the iceberg. And really, I just want to get you thinking. Are your people willing? Are your people able? And your answers will depend on your people. And I can share with you what I do and have seen, but what I want you to pick up on here is the principle that you have to find out who your people are and then lead them accordingly. Well, that is all the time that we're going to take today on the subject. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us at musicandministryconference@gmail.com. And you can check out other articles on the subject at musicandministry.co. We are praying and believing God's best for you this week as you lead your congregations. And just trust that God is doing a great work in you and through you. Well, until next time, God bless.